I just was enjoying those brilliant red against that white wall, and the shadow, the way the shadow, the light throws the shadow of those leaves, so that we have two arrangements, don't we? We have an arrangement of flowers accompanied by an arrangement of shadows. Beautiful.
You want those lighted as well?
It's okay. So, welcome everyone. What a great privilege it is to be together with you, entering this lovely dark tube of silence and stillness that may sometimes feel liberating and sometimes feel like a prison, depending on the moment, right? So thank you for being willing to come and engage in this game. I am so not used to wearing glasses all the time. I can't anymore see without them, but just like, I want to take them off. I want to begin by bringing in a theme for us to touch through the retreat. And I'd like to introduce it by way of a koan and a story. So I'll start with the koan. The koan says, "The storehouse of treasures opens of itself. You may use them however you wish." The storehouse of treasures opens of itself. You may use them however you wish. I was a little surprised when this was the one that offered itself to me, because on the face of it, it could seem kind of like, well, duh. But the more I spent time with it, the more I went, yeah, this is the one that wants to come. The storehouse of treasures opens of itself. You may use them however you wish. This is in our Acequias and Gates collection. And I think one reason that it offered itself to me here, a couple reasons. One is that I had the extreme luxury of time this summer, of having a month to live on the water in a little house with very thin walls and floor. The floor kind of breathes in my little place with the water underneath it. The luxury to be from the dark of the moon to the dark of the moon under a sky that was sometimes foggy, sometimes as deep as any deep sea, with the river of stars running wide down the middle, ready to walk on. And sometimes filled by the brightness of that moon making a path across the water. And some nights so still that I could just hear the moan of the foghorn way out at the mouth of the harbor and the ringing of my own ears, and that was about it. And some nights being awakened in the middle of the night by the slap, slap, slap of the little waves underneath my bed against the pilings. Watching the tide go up and down. It's kind of amazing you know, that this moon, this body that we experience as a body of light, that that body is close enough to pull on our water. And that the little cove where I live there is so different at low tide and high tide, you know? At low tide, this whole brown, wonderful, gooky, earthy edging. And at high tide, just water and more water, and patterns of ripples on the water, and a loon drifting by. And sometimes there'd be this, suddenly a patch of the water would start to sparkle and sort of shimmer and be alive and be rough, and I would suddenly realize it was minnows. It was a whole patch of little fish jumping silvery against the light. And I had time to watch in the distance as maybe 50 terns discovered a school of mackerel, and they would fly up and fly high, and then all of a sudden they would, with their wings kind of open, so you'd see them sort of like an arrowhead down into the water. And time to just paddle out onto the water, sometimes getting eaten alive by mosquitoes on the way, and getting out there in the middle of a bunch of seals who were sort of bloop up out of the water and then sort of looking around and disappearing again. And encountering the lives of people, present and past, story, lots and lots of stories, stories of the history of that place, stories of people's lives now. And until the stories became just like the tide going up and down, just like the loons having their little tea parties out on the water. And so there was time, I took time to allow myself what really is our birthright, to just see how it flowers, to just see the unbelievable creativity of each and every instant. To see when an ache arose in my heart, to see how rough the old layers of creosote were on the kitchen floor, to see how different the pee hole looks. There's a hole in the floor to pee through, and it's very different at high tide and low tide. At low tide, it's rocks under there, and at high tide, it's glimmering water. And each thing happening the storehouse of treasures opens of itself. You may use them however you wish. So I decided that this week, for that and a number of other reasons that maybe will emerge during the week, I'd like to go home to this foundational understanding of our tradition that is common to Buddhists anyway, everywhere, this acknowledgement of three treasures that we share, the ones we take refuge in, Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, awakening, the way, and our companions. And just get really curious about what? The storehouse of treasures opens of itself. This core teaching, we talk about them. What is this? And what if it's not a thing? This was what was so striking to me. Again, taking time, just the unbelievable largeness. And what happened taking time that way was that I was just filled to overflowing by the spaciousness of it. And how can that be? Being filled with the happenings of it, feeling like being filled with space. How can that be? What is that? What's going on? So here's a poem by Li Wo. Birds have vanished into deep skies. A last cloud drifts away. All idleness. Inexhaustible, this mountain and I gaze at each other. It alone remaining. I'll read it again. Birds have vanished into deep skies. A last cloud drifts away. All idleness. Inexhaustible, this mountain and I gaze at each other. It alone remaining. A storehouse with no walls, no fixed location, all being, all emergence, all dissolving, emptying, unfolding, changing, being nothing, just a lens, a wide open lens, no walls, no walls of us, no walls of it. A storehouse. We talk sometimes about the storehouse consciousness, holding everything, all the layers of our being, all that we call sense and idea and knowledge and experience, all that we call love and suffering and history and refuge, hunger and satisfaction. We call that a storehouse. But this teaching says the storehouse of treasure opens of itself, emptying, unfolding, changing, being nothing. Of itself. This is something we utterly can rely upon. It opens of itself, moment by moment by moment, and we are not other than this. This opening of itself, moment by moment. We can allow it. David Hinton said it a nice thing. He said, for Chan or Taoism, there are only the 10,000 things, the diverse, ever-changing reality of which we are a part. So here's our opening day of retreat, our opening day, our opening night of a retreat, all of us circling in. And there's so much stuff happening that we don't even have a clue about. You know, we keep getting new glimmerings. You know, we know now that our microbiomes are meeting each other and mixing and changing the room. Yeah? Actually transforming the space that we inhabit without our doing anything about it, as if we could. The very stuff of us this seamless creativity of being. There is no need here in this time together to hold a self. We get to be the absence that holds it all. So tomorrow night and the next night, I'd like to talk about the next pieces of this, the you can use it and the however you wish parts of this koan. But tonight I think it's enough to just take the storehouse and the opening. So I wanted to bring in something about how I see this storehouse opening as being what we're doing here. And it's something that some of you may have also heard about this weekend, Project Luma. A scientist, Ben Backus, wanted to look wanted to find a vision treatment for amblyopia in adults. Amblyopia happens when from several different sources, but it happens when your two eyes don't get to work together. One eye drifts away. And in children, you can correct it. Harder to do in adults. So Backus wanted to look at the question of how our neurons, how our brains can become plastic again. Somebody had discovered that an adult animal kept in complete darkness for 3 to 10 days. In that animal, the visual system becomes plastic, able to be changed. And this was a really exciting discovery. So he said, okay, I gotta try it. Animals can do it, what about us, right? But, you know, this may be a little bit of a large thing to ask any of my subjects to do, so I better do it first myself. So he recruited an undergraduate, somebody who volunteered. So Ben and Morgan spent 5 days in the dark in 2012, and they coined the term scotonauts. Sailors in the dark. And so they, and what they said happened, this was over spring break. Morgan said, I never really had a lot of proclivity for going to the beach, which is probably a good thing if that's how you're going to spend your spring break. And so they took with them Morgan's ukulele and Ben's cello. They made duets together. They became friends. They said the highlight was when the cat came in. They had in a submarine you'd have an airlock. They had a light lock. So people could come into the next room, get in the dark, bring them, food, a cat. So this was not a total sensory deprivation. It was being in the dark. And in fact, and they discovered things like Bacchus said, I had a glass of wine, and we won't do that again next time. We won't have wine because I ended up in the closet instead of the bathroom. But they really felt that this was promising. They really noticed, when they came out, of course they had to wear dark glasses for a while, but they noticed, you won't be surprised to hear, how extremely vivid everything was. Yeah? And that this really did seem to be very promising. So now they do have Project Luma going on, where they're inviting people to spend 5 to 10 days in darkness. And they're going to be studying whether this really does allow, there's very good evidence because you can see it neurologically, you can see that the animals make new brain cells in the important areas. Those cells do become more plastic, can learn differently in after that time in the dark. So you can probably see where I'm going with this. And I'm going to pair it with one other word about one other kind of experiment. There was a talk by Sandrine Thuret on neuroplasticity. And she was talking about how our hippocampus, which handles learning and memory and the quality of memories, can and does generate new neurons. And she explained that all of us, by the time we are 50 years old, all of the cells in your hippocampus are adult-born by the time you're 50. All of them. None of them are the original cells. And we especially need those cells for spatial recognition. And it has something to do with depression also. And that they're discovering that if you block neurogenesis, if you block the activity of new cells in the hippocampus, then antidepressants are not effective. And furthermore, they discovered that here are the things that increase neurogenesis in adults: learning stuff, sex, running or other really good hard exercise, calorie restriction, leaving space between meals, eating chewy or crunchy foods. Isn't that interesting? As opposed to soft foods. Increases neurogenesis. I think probably because it's more interesting or something. Anyway, the things that decrease neurogenesis were stress, sleep deprivation, aging, high-fat diet, alcohol, and a soft diet. So the reason I bring this in is because I think it's good for us to notice that this thing we do, this very odd thing we do of going into this funky old building, into our own 10 by 10 foot room that is very much like Vimalakirti's room, where, you know, it's full of 35,000 beings. You know, we think we can count, but not so much. Each of us being made of at least 35,000 beings already, hosting them. There's so much going on that we know nothing about. And we can completely rely on its creativity. And when we let ourselves lean a little bit on this old tradition that says, sit down, get still, be really quiet, and don't try to do anything else. just let it happen. If we let ourselves fall into it, this rare privilege, the storehouse of treasures opens of itself.